F1A, number 25B.
Yes, and so we could go on through those 16 or 12 laws, but that's not necessary. Now we know how to work with these laws, and it is just a matter now of exercising them. The only thing I can say that the practitioners that have seen these laws, as I know them way back since I have pointed them out, they always have used these laws, not only these laws, but also naturally the laws of the chart, but have used these laws in practice over and over and over. And always they tell me that they say, here I really find my security, I feel secure when I give a treatment, and if I go through these laws, naturally you have to detect which law you take in a specific situation. That's why these laws are so specific. Therefore, say you have to deal with something that perhaps most people have to deal with themselves, namely, am I a Jonah or am I a Obadiah or am I a Micah? We are all these figures, and to see, for instance, that one has a lot of difficulty with oneself, that one has a difficulty that one feels that there is another soul within ourselves that struggles against the true soul. We have a classical saying in German, there are two souls within us that struggle. That's really the Esau and the Jacob, and we all know that not always the Jacob is speaking within us, that we are face to face with some characteristics within us which we don't like, which belong to Esau and not to the Jacob. We realize that we are not yet as holy as we would like to be. What can you do? Shall we accuse ourselves and think that does something? Or shall we go through the law of Joel and see that, the law of Obadiah, and see that we can use that wonderful law of Obadiah and see that this law applies directly to us and it makes quite a difference. If you have afterwards the law of Obadiah, you have on 75 that God forever comes specifically to every mortal, and you can say, I'm now that specific mortal. So one has quite a personal relationship with being, and can see, now, at this point, you know, when you come to the second vertical, it's always to the representative, so it's very specific to us, and I can apply that law to me, and I can see, yes, how do I get rid of that Esau in me? And I take that law, which says that law forever comes to me. I address it right to me, so that I feel there is an impact of the Christ idea on my character, on my life, on my constitution, on my body, on my health, or whatever it is. It's a direct relationship to me, and I feel I'm in care of God, that God cares for me, that the Christ idea wants me to save. So I feel constantly I am under the treatment of God. God gives me constantly a treatment and says, I constantly treat you, I constantly come to you. And I pull down and dethrone and burn up in you in me everything that is unlike God. Then I have a direct law that applies to me. And so it is not then just general where we feel, yes, I hope it will do some good to somebody, but that you really feel, now I am under treatment of God, and so the divine mind is constantly coming to me and says, look here, I'm the only mind, and so I burn up in you all those funny beliefs that you think you have a mind of your own, an intelligence of your own, that you have that you are under mesmerism and hypnotism. That's not true. You are only under the influence of the one mind. And so I begin to build up within me the true representative within me. It has a direct personal relationship. And so I go through the seven synonymous terms, just the way we have been doing. So can you see, these laws are very practical. Or you are faced with a question that we should give birth to our true king within us, to our true manhood within us. Not just to pull down, like in Obadiah, everything that is not man-like, that is not like the idea of man. But you also can see, I should really approach the remnant within me. And we have so often a situation where somebody does not value himself, says, I'm not good enough, I have not been wanted in the world, I have been created and brought forth without being wanted, and I suffer under it. And usually they suffer under it quite a big deal. They always feel that they are secondary and that they are nothing and that they are unimportant and things like that. And so how can we help such a person? We can say, look here, be a Micah. Be a Micah. Don't believe that you come from parents. Perhaps you go to the law of Micah, how to bring forth the idea man, the true idea man, that one can see you are not dependent on your parents, you are not dependent of your ancestry, you are not under the law of heredity, you can give birth to yourself. You can be in Bethlehem Ephratah. You can be the daughter of Zion, and you can bring forth the one who is ruling Israel. And so, if we go through that whole law of mind and spirit and soul and principle, life, truth and love, we establish naturally within us the true idea man. And you see, that's a completely different problem than what we had in Hosea or Joel or Amos, so that in practice you always can somehow spot which law applies to that situation. In earlier times we said we must know the specific idea that is adequate for a specific error. This is true. But why only an idea? Why not the law of that idea? And if we have the law of that idea, then we do not deal just with a truth against a specific error. Just one specific truth against one specific error. We are using the whole structure of an idea, the whole law of an idea, against the whole field of beliefs that counterfeit that idea. And so it is much broader and therefore more powerful. Yes. So this is in short what we have been doing during this week. And actually it is now up to each one to culture that whole matrix, the Christ matrix. We have seen we could start out deductively. We can see deductively first what the first vertical is spiritually teaching us, what the second vertical is teaching us, and so on. And just culture ourselves within it. But this is a work that needs time, that needs discipline, especially discipline, because it must discipline us into a constant culturing of these ideas. Not just once and then leave them for a half a year and for a year and forget them 5 years. It is something that it is interesting, you know. If you do it once properly, I mean going through these laws and thinking them out and spending perhaps every day a quarter of an hour or half an hour for it and do that over months, then it is as if they become so innate in one's consciousness that it isn't so that then for the next 100 years we have to go through these laws every month or every year. They become somehow also tonality. See, these laws become then just as if they would become one law. Again, as we have seen with ideas of mind, when we contemplate these ideas of mind long enough, they disappear, and what is left over is the tone of mind. And so it is with the laws. These laws, the more we culture them and think them through and see the beauty of it and the expansion of it, the elaboration of it, the warmth of it, the purpose of it, and feel the atmosphere of it, suddenly these laws become obsolete, so to say. They just become one tone, so that the law is no more something that is constituted of various factors, but you just hear it as one, just as one. For instance, you can see that if we take the first three laws of Hosea, Joel, and Amos, because they have a one common denominator, very soon we will realize that we will build a law on that first vertical that combines all three laws. So we get a super law, so to say, of these three, which just contain the pith of it. And so in that first three prophets, perhaps we just could state it in one law that includes everything, namely, which would say, first, God constantly manifests himself as God good. You see, that was Hosea. And so translates all evil back to good, that's Joel, with the effect of Amos, thereby destroying all evil. So you have certainly just one law that covers all three prophets. Again, can you see also with these laws, we can use that method of simplification and always reduce more and more. Did you hear that? We could say, because Hosea says that God alone manifests itself as ideas of God, good, and then Joel comes and says, and I translate evil into good, and then Amos comes and says, I destroy all that is evil so that only good is left over. You just can put that into one law and begin to see God manifests itself always as the ideas of God, good, translating all counterfeit beliefs back to the fact, thereby destroying everything that is unlike God, good. Yes? Can you see that? You see, all these things do not develop. if the basis of our consciousness is not pure and not scientific. We must go from the infinitude of the text, and from the text build up, as we have seen yesterday, step by step, from the biblical text to metaphysical ideas, to the synonymous term, from the synonymous term to the order of synonymous term, from the order of the synonymous term to categories of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, to categories of the horizontals of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, finally to arrive and say, what is this all about? The Christ. We have the Christ matrix. These are clear, scientific, ordered steps, one after the other. And if we build that way, we'll always see that that brings us always nearer and nearer to simplicity. So that finally we have always fewer brute notions, so to say, in order to express being. And so again, we can, in these laws, we can have 16 laws, all right, but we can also simplify them, reduce them more and more, so that we have only a few laws left. But they mean so much more than what they meant before. Yes. So you see, it's a big, big subject. And I hope I didn't promise something that I didn't keep when I said right at the beginning that I know that you were studying the minor prophets and studying rather diligently and reading the book, and that I will present the same book with the same text in such a way that perhaps you have never been thinking of, that it is a completely different book now. Actually, it is a book as I wanted to have it understood. But I could see that it needs the guidance of how thought is led step by step to see what actually is in the book. Yes, that would be the end of the Minor Prophets and an introduction into matrix and working with a matrix. And therefore I feel that next year I may do a similar a class with the epistles. I just felt I wasn't quite sure for a long time what I should do next year, but I feel that the subject of working with the matrix is just a bit new and is demanding. And then it is good, say, if one takes another example and strengthens what we have learned in the Christ matrix and strengthens it perhaps with the Christianity matrix. The Christianity matrix is the epistles also in a 4x4 matrix. And actually that Christianity matrix has different indices. The A, IJ, is then different. The A is then no more the Christ. You know what I mean with the A? That A is then no more the Christ, but Christianity. And the I and the J are also different, though they are again the calculus, the four-sided calculus, but with the tonality of the of Christianity. Therefore, those verticals and horizontals, they have then a different connotation. And you see that, say, if you take the study aid, do I have the study aid here? At page 103, if you take the study aid at page 103, there we have shown all the I indices that we have found in the fundamental matrices. So what we have been doing during this week was actually this second line here, the second horizontal, the Christ matrix. You can see there that the word vertical was God's self, that the word vertical was the monopotency of God good. Then the Christ verticals was the manifestation of the Christ-likeness, and the Christianity, the preservation of the idea, and the science vertical, the operation of the idea in its principle. So when we come to the Christianity matrix, which is then on the third line here, then we get in the word vertical something very different. When we get in the word vertical, the grace of God, you can see the grace of God as a Christianity sense. We get as a Christ, the glory of the Christ, that there is only one Christ, no other Christ, the glory of the Christ. Then in Christianity, naturally, man, the idea of man's perfection is then shown there. And then in the science vertical, the science of man. Man as a scientist. So that the I index, can you see, is different from the I index of the Christ matrix because it's under Christianity. And in the same way, you will have on the next page, 104, another J index. You have the J index in on the second horizontal here of the minor prophets, where we had here in the vertical, actually, here in the second vertical, you had the prophets, the Christ matrix, as the divine purpose defined, and the enforcement of the translation, the disappearance of evil and the appearance of good rendered inescapable, the understanding of God. Now, in the Christianity matrix, you will have the J index here, that third vertical here, namely, in the Word, we will always see that we have to accept that new faith. See, that's from the human standpoint, to accept that new faith. In the Christ, we have to claim the new faith so that it brings transformation. Then Christianity will show us that we should steadfastly abide in that new faith, and that would bring victory, demonstration, and that finally that we should prove the new faith, that science proving by living it. So you can see the whole message which are in the epistle, this book on the epistle is really written in the same way as the minor prophets. It goes along the same layout, so to say, showing what is in an epistle, what the structure is in an epistle, the layout, then epitomizing the subject, then from the subject going through, seeing if there are a common denominator in some of the epistles, so you get to the verticals, then to the horizontals, and finally you have the Christianity matrix. So I feel if we take next year the epistles in the matrix, that you are now much more prepared, so to say, for the work, you know, the line of the work, so it should be then easier to follow. What we will then do, I guess, very much so, is to bring out, so to say, the New Testament theology of Paul and compare it a little bit with the minor prophets, so to compare Christianity with the Christ. We know now the Christ matrix, and so in Christianity we have an additional aspect and then can compare, and always comparing helps to understand. It trains to see differences in the subject. So that is, I think, what we will do next year. And until then, I say goodbye.